Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Just want to say thank you so much for taking some of your valuable time and spending it with me on your busy day and joining me today on my podcast, The Cross in the Desert. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2023. We are rapidly ending the summer. I love the summer, and I love the heat, and I love the outdoors and the barbecues. I'm still going to do it no matter what. Rain, snow, sleet, or hail, I love the outdoors. But unfortunately, fall is upon us, and it's never been my favorite season because of the cold and flu season, etc. So I'm going to have to endure through this time again. But what I want to talk about today far outweighs my feelings about the weather. I want to talk more about the continued oppression of my Iranian friends and the continued closures of businesses in Iran, the continued obsession they have with the hijab law and how they are treating women. And so the latest thing they are doing in Iran, and it shouldn't surprise you, if you've listened to this program, you know all about what this program represents. Iranian media is reporting on Monday, this past Monday, there is a water park in Iran. It's called Mojeh Khorasan. I hope I said that right. It's a water park. It's one of the largest indoor water parks in the world, in fact. It has been shut down because too many women were allowed to enter without wearing mandatory Islamic head coverings. Okay, let's just be practical for a minute. If you're going to go to the top of your head and your hair, really? To enjoy the pool, to enjoy the water slide, to enjoy all of the activities. I mean, let's really be practical. But anyway, the manager of the park told local media the complex was shuttered by the authorities because, a quote, too many people were ignoring chastity and hijab rules. Well, the manager denied these charges. He's insisting to the media that this park is adhering to the law and admonish women who tried to enter without mandated head coverings. Really? Don't know if that's true, though. But let's read on. This park is actually located in the city of Mashhad. It's right around the corner from, I think, where my dear Iranian friend lives. She's not too far away from it. But because of this closure, here we go again, economic woes, 1,000 employees are now worried about their jobs. And it's in Iran's second largest city. It's a major place for tourism and religious pilgrimage. It contains a shrine that is sacred to Shia Islam. And so this complex is a huge complex for them to close it and lose jobs. It would affect tourism. But let's go on a little further. There have been scores of businesses that have been closed in the recent months as Tehran clamps down further on women's freedoms. And bookshops, cafes, clothing stores have been forced to shut down after orders from authorities. Now, this has been going on since the revolution in 1979. This hijab law is absolutely oppressive, and so the closures, because women won't adhere to it, is affecting the economy big time. But understand something. For you that listen to this program, and you know how I support the women of Iran, they simply want to have a choice. And it's not so much about the hair. It's about the freedom to choose. And the oppression of Islam has just destroyed this country since 1979. And closures are becoming more and more rampant across Iran, especially since in about 9 days, the world is going to pause from their activities, and they're going to go out and have a rally in honor of Mahsa Jina Amini, who was murdered in custody on September 16th, 2022. She was arrested for showing a little too much hair. Her hijab wasn't worn correctly, and reports are that once she was in custody, she was beaten. And they tried to cover this up, of course, and say that she died of a heart attack, and they had this footage showing it, and it's not true. And since her death, there has been huge uprisings in Iran. I wrote a book all about this and published it back in March. And so because the year anniversary is going to be just in a few days, of course the Iranian government is even becoming more stringent on the hijab law. They are preparing for what is likely going to be some more protests, some more uprisings in honor of Mahsa Jina Amini. In fact, they just recently arrested her uncle. So they are preparing for what they know is going to happen on the one-year anniversary. Well, we're talking about closes this morning, or closures. I want to spend our time this morning talking about some very significant closures in Iran. It's reported or estimated there's about 75,000 mosques all over the nation of Iran. And it has been reported in the last few months, a senior clerk is claiming that religion in Iran is very weak. And out of those 75,000 mosques, 50,000 of those mosques have closed their doors because of the declining number of Iranians attending. Now, this cleric, Mohammad Doulabi, he kind of is a liaison between the president and country's seminaries, President, you know, Ibrahim Raisi, and he said a few days ago that the numbers are a worrying admission for a state built around the principles of Islam. Now, Doulabi, who is also a member of the Assembly of Experts, it's a body in the parliamentary governmental rule there. Actually, they're the body that will appoint the next supreme leader. He said that the outcome of religion in Iran has led to people leaving religion. He emphasizes society, a weakened legitimacy of a government ruling by religious, talks about the humiliation of people in the name of religion, falsification of religious concepts and teachings, depriving people of a decent life, and creating poverty in the name of religion. And he made these remarks in the context of a growing number of Iranians of all ages who are becoming weary of the regime's justification of Islam as the basis of its brutal dictatorship. And of course, let's put it frankly, what's going on here? The fruit of Islam is turning people away in Iran. They are seeing it for what exactly it is, an empty, oppressive religion. If you look at carefully what's going on in Iran, you will soon discover that Iran has one of the fastest underground house church movements in the world. Why? It's very simple. Especially the youth, they are seeing Islam for what it is, an empty, violent, oppressive religion. Marcia Amirzadeh, who wrote the book along with her friend Miriam Rostenpour, captive in Iran, they were actually on death row for distributing Bibles in Iran, has some very interesting concepts about these closures of mosques in Iran and what's going on with the religion of Islam. Now, if you remember back in 2009, like I said, they were on death row for promoting Christianity in Iran. And she says about the recent protests in conjunction with the closure of the mosques, the protesters are not in the streets facing guns and bullets just for that. She says that corruption and persecution in Iran have created a thirst for the gospel, for spiritual reality, for something much more better than Islam. She says that what's going on in Iran, persecution is helping people to see the truth. And Marzia says when we were evangelizing in Iran, we didn't have even one bad experience. Everyone was so thirsty to find the truth. And Marzia says, I could see that God had prepared their hearts even before these 75,000 mosques, 50,000 of them are closed. What is happening in Iran? There are several people that give their personal testimony. Machahedi, he is a former Muslim. He said he came to faith after accidentally watching a scene from The Passion of the Christ. It was in Russian, and he didn't understand what was being said because of the language, but he was struck by the image of Christ, and it made him weep and made him cry. His mother, who had secretly begun watching Christian programming on satellite TV, explained to him, that is, Muhadji, that the movie was about Jesus. Now, some things you need to know. Programs such as Mohabbat TV and Sat7 Pars. These are satellite companies. These are television companies using satellite in Iran. They share the gospel to Iranians over satellite. And it's illegal in Iran to have a satellite dish because the government, if they find out about it, they're going to come to your house, rip it off your roof, they'll destroy them. But there are many Iranians who are hungry and thirsty. They want an alternative to Islam. And Iran Live Ministries is another example. It broadcasts from Dallas, Texas, sharing the gospel with Iranian people, reaching some 6 million Iranians daily. Iranians are desperate for the truth. 50,000 mosques closing in Iran shows the world that there is a supreme void. The human heart was created in God's image. And as Augustine said, the heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee, referring to God. It was Jesus who said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And Jesus also said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is why you have brave Iranians who are Muslim in name only, who find their hope and freedom in Jesus, and they are relentless. They are without fear. They are empowered. Share Christ. It's the greatest treasure in the world to them, knowing Jesus and his love and his forgiveness. And now you begin to see why there is a massive closure of mosques in Iran. Ever since I began my program, The Cross in the Desert, I have not only talked about human rights, but I have shared the gospel, the power of the gospel. and how it changes the lives of people to those who come to find their hope and freedom in Jesus. And I have talked about the house church movement in Iran on the internet, grasping, looking, searching for something that will satisfy their lives. When they see the fruit of Islam and they see what this government, who are largely Muslims, Shia Muslims, when they see what a government and religion has done to the masses of people, they want no part of it. And then the words of Jesus are like a magnet to them. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. It was David, the great king of Israel, writing in Psalm 63, verse 1, who said, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's Iran, a dry and weary land where there is no water, to the extent that the doors of 50,000 mosques have been shut closed, along with businesses, along with everything this government is doing, push an oppressive religion on a people that is hungry and thirsty for the truth, on a people that is saying, oh God, my soul thirsts for you. Many Iranians do become atheists after they see what religion does to people. But then there are also many Iranians who are not satisfied, who have a void in their life, and they want to know the truth. And Jesus says, if you come to me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love the verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 through 17, that declares, speaking of Jesus, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, that is Jesus, in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is what Iranians, they are hungry and thirsty. And that's why when the words of Jesus touch their heart, saying, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, whoever believes in me shall never thirst, they want that. They want that desperately. And in my book, Uprising, I wrote at the end with my co-author, Heather Joy, a prophecy about Iran. And it's right on compared to what you're hearing about the closure of the mosque there. God is at work in the nation of Iran. And I had this personal prophecy I shared in my book, Uprising, that I want to share briefly with you. When you think about the closures of these mosques and the desperate hunger and thirst of the Iranian people finding their hope and freedom in Jesus, God is saying, waves of my glory and waves of restoration are coming soon to your land, O Iran. I will break into pieces the hardened soils of death and destruction that has plagued you for more than 40 years and will cause the rose of Persia to blossom once again. Refreshment and restoration are coming back to your land. I have not forgotten you. I am breathing new life into your hearts and minds. Very soon, the walls of this present evil regime will come crumbling down because of the faithful prayers of my elect. The walls are falling. The Spirit is calling. God has a plan for the nation of Iran. When you see the closures of the mosques and you understand the hunger and thirst of Iranians, and the hope they have found in Jesus, and they meet secretly, even though it's illegal, they are willing to take the risk of their own lives to be ambassadors for Christ, to walk out in the public squares in Iran and proclaim Jesus as Lord. No wonder the mosques are closing. The government is afraid of Christianity. They know their demise is coming soon because the masses of people have found a love so amazing. His name is Jesus. And I want us to take just a couple of seconds right now and pause and listen to this song by Chris Tomlin. And I want you to think about the closures of all of these mosques in Iran. And I want you to join me as we listen to the song and praying and interceding for God's Spirit to do just as he promised, to bring a wave of restoration, healing, and salvation to the people of Iran.
There is a light that overwhelms the dark.
powerful, powerful worship music from Chris Tomlin. The name of Jesus, the name above all names, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A Muslim is under tremendous responsibility and pressure to measure up to Allah. Through fasting, through praying, for doing good works, they become their own savior to merit their own righteousness. But Jesus says to you, if you are a Muslim, come to me. You who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus said that about religious leaders who were oppressing the people of his day with so many commandments and so many rules, and so much burden could never appease an angry God that required so much. But Jesus paints the picture of a loving, heavenly Father who wants to bless his children, who wants to save his children, who wants to set them free. And Jesus came, he says, to give us life and life more abundantly. It's the thief. It is Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I'm asking you to join me and to pray for my friends in Iran, to pray for the people of Iran who have not yet experienced the life-transforming power of Christ, and pray for them to get saved, and pray for them to be able to one day leave that country like so many of my friends have. There are massive closures of mosques in Iran because it's evident that people are tired. They're exhausted from empty, futile, oppressive religion. And that's why when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst, they want to know that God. They want to know who he is. So many Muslims have been told the lie that Jesus is nothing more than a prophet, but Jesus is God himself, manifested in human flesh, who came and bore all of our sins and guilt, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He is a loving Savior. And that is why there are many people leaving Islam to find their hope and freedom in Jesus. God bless you. I will see you next week on the cross in the desert. And I hope that you have an incredibly good, safe weekend. Stay well. And I will see you next week.